Jesus coming back can be more, we try to get the, like, piece it together and get all the facts in order, and we've kind of get carried away with that instead of just the basic truth that Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for each one of us that believe in him. All right, so what are the signs of Jesus' return? I'd like to turn to Matthew 24:3, and I invite you to follow along. We'll be kind of skipping all over the Bible, so and see what God has for us. Matthew 24:3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" So the disciples here came to Jesus, and they asked him, "So what's going to be the sign of your coming? How will it look? And what do we need to be looking for to know that you are coming back and you're coming back soon?" And also, you notice they asked the question, when is the end of the age, or when is the world coming to an end? And so in their minds, it seemed like they pieced those two together, Jesus coming back and the end of the world. It seemed like they just kind of went together, and I'm not sure why that is, if that's how they learned as Jewish or as Jewish people in that day, if that's how they understood the Bible, I'm not sure. And then we're going to move on to verse 4 here. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows." So here it says there's going to be wars. There's going to be false teachers. There's going to be natural disasters, diseases, sickness, famine, and deception. And so we kind of have three different categories. We have religious signs of Jesus coming, we have political signs of Jesus coming, and we have natural signs of Jesus coming. And I'm just going to leave you with a question. How many of these signs do you see today? I'm not going to try to compare and everything. I think it's pretty obvious there are signs that Jesus will come back in all these different areas. So what will it be like when Jesus comes? What's it gonna be like? Number one, I believe Jesus is coming back literally. If you turn with me to Acts 1, 9 to 11. Reads like this. Now when he had spoken these things, while they were watching, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So Jesus is coming back. He's not going to send an envoy or a liaison or whatever to get his church. He's coming back himself, and he's coming back for his believers, for those who believe in him. I suppose you could probably debate the fact whether he's going to come back in actual flesh or if it's going to be his spirit coming back. To me, that's not really relevant. I tend to believe that he's going to come back as a human being, just because that's the way he left and that's the way it says here, but that's your personal belief, whatever you want to believe in that. Colossians 3:4 says, "When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." So Jesus will appear. Jesus is coming back. It's been over 2,000 years, but he is coming back. Next point is Jesus' coming will be visible. If you turn with me to Revelations 1:7, Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. So it says he's coming back with clouds, and every eye is going to see him. There's various places in Scripture, and we might get to that yet, where it talks about the dead being raised first, and then the rest of us who are alive will join them to meet them in the clouds. And so in life or death, I believe every eye is going to see him when he comes. It's not going to be like an event that happens over in Jerusalem and you know, we might miss out or we might hear of it later. It's going to be a worldwide event that every eye is going to see. So back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 30, 24, 27. Reads like this: For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will also the coming of the Son of Man be. So there we have a bit of a visual. It's going to be like I said, a worldwide, across the sky event. Maybe kind of like a 3D event, I don't know. But as the lightning cruises across the sky and explodes, that is how Jesus will come. It's going to be huge. It's going to be big. And the third point is Jesus appearing will be audible. Matthew 24, verse 31. And he will send his angels with a great sound of trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the end of heaven to the other. Jesus is coming back with a trumpet blast, and we're going to hear it. It's going to be loud. It's going to be, it'll be big. And that'll mark the time when he gathers his elect. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 52. This is Paul talking about this same event. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The trumpet's going to sound. The trumpet will mark his coming. So with it being visible, it's also going to be audible. And I believe Thessalonians 4, we won't turn there, but talks about Jesus coming back with a shout, with a trumpet of God. I'm kind of curious how the trumpet of God's going to look. I don't know if I'll get a chance. I know we'll hear it, but I would kind of like to get a chance to see it, because how God's trumpet's going to look, because I think it's going to be amazing and phenomenal. Fourth point, Jesus' return will be stunningly glorious. In Matthew 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, and then he will sit on the throne of his glory. So he's coming in glory. He's not going to sneak in the back door and start handing pamphlets around for all his believers to come with him. He's going to come like a king. He's going to come from his throne to earth to gather his elect, to gather his believers with him, I believe. And it says he's bringing all his holy angels with him. And there's another passage in Scripture talks about how many angels God has. And it's, if you put the thousands and thousands and 10,000s together, it comes up to be billions of angels, I believe. And so there's going to be a lot of activity. There's going to be a lot going on. Revelation 6, 14. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And I believe this is talking about the same event. I could be wrong, but I think there's going to be like a landscape upheaval. It talks about mountains being moved, islands being removed, and the sky just kind of rolling up or whatever. And so it's going to be a big event. It's going to be glorious, and it's going to. I think the point of it being stunningly glorious is that us as humanity will know that this is Jesus coming back. This is the Christ coming back. Psalms 50, verse 3 says, Jesus will come and will not keep silent. It will be tempestuous or like a whirlwind all around him. And then I would like to just read Luke 21 yet. Luke 21, verses 25-27. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, and men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud and with power and great glory. So it talks about signs here again of Christ coming, and then also talks about the Son of Man coming in a cloud and with power and great glory. And there's verse 28 there. We're going to get to that yet. So point number 5 is Jesus' return will be personal. John 14, verse 3. Jesus says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is an awesome promise of why Jesus is coming back. It's to gather his believers, to gather those who believe in him back to him. Jesus' return is all about reuniting humanity, restored humanity with him again forever. That's why he's coming back. He's not coming back to necessarily just get the devil one last time. I don't know, maybe that, but I believe his initial motive is to gather humanity that loves and serves him back to himself. Philippians 3:20 also says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to Jesus. Our passport is heaven's passport, and Jesus is coming back from there to receive us. I'd just like to read Revelations 3:20. Behold, I stand, and this is in the context of Jesus coming being personal. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. So this could be referring to, it's Jesus' call to us now, if we don't know Christ, to open our heart's door to him, because he wants to be a personal Savior to us. He wants to be personal with us. And also, I believe in his coming, he wants it to be personal. He's coming back for you. He's coming back for me. Because he wants to take us to that prepared place to live with us and to be with us. So Jesus' coming is personal. So I hope these 5 points were kind of inspirational. And in your walk and as you think of Christ coming. Just a thought to ponder. I mean, the Bible talks about Jesus coming as a thief in the night, and there's various opinions on that. I understand that thieves in the ancient Eastern times were not so sneaky. They were more type to band together and go in and just knock down doors and do their get what they wanted to get and leave again. So I don't know if that's what the Bible refers to when it talks about thief in the night, that it's more about a surprise than actually sneaking out in there and out of there without us knowing. I don't know. That's a thought. I'll just leave that out there. But I do believe it's going to be a surprise when Jesus comes back again. Scripture talks about that. So in conclusion, Job of old confessed that his Redeemer lives and is once more going to stand upon the earth. And that could be when Jesus came the first time, and I believe he was talking about when Jesus came the second time. Luke 21, verse 34 to 36. How are we to walk? How do we live our lives now in light of Jesus coming back again? And that's a personal question. I'm not going to try to tell you how, but here are some pointers. 21, verse 34 to 36. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, that they come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all the things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So a few things here. It talks about to be ready for when Jesus comes, putting our belief in Christ. And it talks about watching, watch the signs, and I think just having the belief settle in our heart that we believe Jesus is coming back for us. Things like this aren't going to carry on forever. They can't carry on forever like this. Times change and seasons change. But someday, whether in life or in death, I believe Jesus is coming back. And we watch and we pray that way. And just to live so much in the awareness of that, that it affects our day-to-day decision. It affects how we relate to others. It affects what we invest in, whether it's time or money or whatever, I believe is important. How we make decisions. Paul in Thessalonians also tells us to encourage one another with these words. So we, in our conversation, we, you know, hey, you know what? Jesus is coming. He's coming back. What do you think about that? Does it get you excited? and I would like to, Luke 21 here, verse 27 and 28, I would like to look at those yet. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws nigh. Jesus coming is a completion of our redemption. We can live in perfect redemption today through Jesus Christ. And that's great in our soul. Jesus came to redeem our souls. But there's coming a day when Jesus is coming to redeem our souls, our body, and our spirits, I believe. I believe it's going to be all parts of us are going to be redeemed. He's coming to give us a new body. And we can live with him and reign with him forever in that state of perfection. So God bless you as you live in this truth that Jesus is coming back. I don't mean it in a way that we just kind of shut down and just, you know, Bible talks about that too. It talks about occupying till he comes. So whatever that means to you, whatever that looks like in your life, I just want to encourage you to remember that Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for his elect. And if you don't know Jesus, he's willing to know you so that you can be ready for that day. Paul says also, he says, now we look through a glass darkly. Especially around this event, things kind of look shady or look foggy. They're not necessarily always clear. Even in our other areas of our lives, things look kind of dim and we get bogged down. But there's coming a day when face to face, it's going to be clear. It's going to be distinct. Jesus is going to be more real than ever because we'll be in communion and we'll be in just his presence forever. I'd like to just close with a couple words from a song that inspired this message, and I encourage you to maybe sometime this week turn it on and worship to it. It's called "Even So Come, Lord Jesus" by Travis Cottrell, and I believe there's other artists that have played it as well. And I'm just going to read a couple verses of it. "All of creation, all of the earth, make straight a highway, a path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinner, wake up the saint," talking about our priorities. "Let every nation shout of your name, Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we will sing, even so, Lord Jesus, come, even so, Lord Jesus, come." God bless y'all.